I like that word, resilient. If you look in the dictionary, it means able to withstand or recover quickly from difficult situations, able to recoil or spring back into shape after being bent, stretched, or compressed. And these are days when I think all of us are having to practice resiliency. I think particularly for the church today, it's a time for us to be resilient, to be able to withstand difficult conditions, to be able to spring back and recover after being stretched and bent and all of that. And that's part of what we're talking about in this sermon series we've been in the last few weeks. It's called Living Through Uncertain Times. Because, right, these are uncertain times that we live in. You just don't know what's coming up. You don't know what's around the corner. I don't know what your worry may be. Maybe it's maybe it's health or finances, or, you know, maybe just the social fabric of the world coming apart and unraveling. The pandemic, of course, is unprecedented in making us feel like times are uncertain. But, you know, the reality is that most of us, most of the time, we live in uncertain times, period. Because, actually, life can change in just a heartbeat. I mean, Carrie, I was talking to her this morning in the hospital, and she was up here yesterday getting everything ready for the service today, and then all of a sudden she got hit, and next thing you know, she's in the emergency room. That kind of thing happens. We see in Iowa what happened here the last week or so with, it's just unprecedented what the weather did and the storm that blew through there. We could have, job changes. We can have relationship changes at any moment. Oh, you could have an accident. You could have a bad diagnosis. Or a friend or a loved one could have some calamity befall them. Uncertainty is really part of living in this world, and we kind of deal with it all the time. Maybe not as intensely as what we're going through right now, but we all live with some uncertainty in our life, and we have to learn how to manage that. How do you spring back? How do you come back? How do you manage yourself in uncertain times? Brené Brown is one of my favorite authors, and she's written a lot about vulnerability. And she says this in one of her books: I spent a lot of years trying to outrun or outsmart vulnerability by making things certain and definitive, black and white, good and bad. My inability to lean into the discomfort of vulnerability or uncertainty and openness limited the fullness of those important experiences that were wrought with uncertainty, like love and belonging and trust and joy and creativity, to name a few. What she's trying to say is that uncertainty can be a time for us to grow, if we'll let it. It can be a time for us to mature. It can be a time for us to become more than we are. And I think that's part of what Paul's trying to write to the church at Thessalonica. They were living in these uncertain days, and we've talked about it, right? He had planted the church, and it immediately came under persecution, and he had to leave. He was actually run out of town, and he sent Timothy back to check on them, his protege, and found out that they were doing well, but they were still being persecuted, and they were getting weary, and they thought Jesus was going to come back anytime, and he hadn't come back yet, so they're wondering about how do we live in the meantime while we're waiting on Christ. In these uncertain times when we're being persecuted and things are difficult, how do we live? And so that's part of what Paul writes in these two letters, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, to them. And we've talked about how Paul encouraged us to rub hope into our situations. Anytime you're in uncertain situations, rub the hope of God into the world that's around you. We talked about how we have to remember that we're in this together, not just together us, but us together with God. We talked last week about being people of the light, that you have to watch your posture. You know, you can either, you know, your posture, you can either do this or you can do this. And so what's the posture that you have? Be alert, be clear-headed. We talked about protecting our heart and our head, our thoughts, and also our emotions. Protect our hearts, and don't let evil slip in there. And not only are we in this together, but he told us that we need to build each other up. So I hope this week you had an opportunity to actively build somebody up in Christ, to encourage them, to uplift them, because that's part of what we're supposed to do. But today, as we move on to the sort of near the end of the letter, I almost skipped this today. Well, let me read it to you real quickly. 1 Thessalonians 5:12-24. Dear brothers and sisters, Honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. They work hard among you and give you spiritual guidance. Show them great respect and wholehearted love because of their work, and live peacefully with each other. Brothers and sisters, we urge you to warn those who are lazy. No elbows, okay? Warn those who are lazy. Encourage those who are timid. Take tender care of those who are weak. Be patient with everyone. See that no one pays back evil for evil, but always try to do good to each other and to all people. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Do not stifle the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Do not scoff at prophecies, but test everything that is said. Hold on to what is good. Stay away from every kind of evil. Now may the God of peace make you holy in every way, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. God will make this happen, for he who calls you is faithful. Now there's two reasons why I almost didn't do this passage of scripture today. One is that there's a lot of stuff in there. That's a lot of sentences. That's a lot of commands. And to do them all justice is just really hard. And, you know, in the brief amount of time that we have today, it's just jam-packed with a lot of things that he's reminding them to do. The second thing is, I look at that list, and maybe as I read it, there are things that you should already be doing. There are things that you should already know to do. You probably already know you're supposed to pray. You probably already know you're supposed to always be joyful. These are some of the basic things. Be patient. I mean, you know, not only have you been told that by God, but your spouse probably tells you that all the time. And so these are just things that we've heard, and it's like nothing really exciting. It's the fundamentals. It's kind of elementary. But then I started thinking about the context of these verses. Why does Paul say these things right now? And it reminded me of when, you know, I was born and raised in Texas. And when I was growing up, we had all the sports that everybody else has, you know, like shuffleboard. Is shuffleboard a sport? I think it's in the Olympics. The king in Texas, right, is football. And so, I mean, everybody has to play football. And so you're just, you know, that's just the way it is. And so I started playing football when I was in fourth grade. That's when we had full pads, helmets, the whole deal. And actually, in my fourth, fifth, and sixth grade years, I changed schools somewhere in the middle. But twice out of those 3 years, we won city championships, the teams that I was on. And you know what I found out? I discovered I like winning. I discovered that winning is better than losing, right? And so when I went to junior high, our junior high at that time was 7th, 8th, and 9th grade in one building. And so 7th and 8th grade, we were a pretty good team. We were playing other teams in other cities and that stuff. And so we had a pretty good team. We were decent. We were looking forward to our 9th grade year because we really thought, you know, with the people that were coming up, we could really make a, you know, we thought we could make a run. Well, our athletic director decided that he wanted to split our team and put two entries in the district, because he felt like that the more real playing time that everybody had, it would make us better when we got to be in, you know, 11th and 12th grade, when we got to made varsity. More real playing time we got, the better we are. Well, we didn't like that, because that meant we were going to be splitting all our talent. Meant all the starters would be split up, and we knew we'd only be half as good as we could be together. And I remember, you know how you are when you're that age, and I remember 9th grade, we had a strike. And lasted one day. And they promised to hold us all back the next year, and then we could give it another run. So we went ahead and played. Anyway, and sure enough, we split teams. And here's the thing. The team that I was on was the weaker of the two. It wasn't a very good team, and we struggled all year. Matter of fact, towards the middle of the year, we just went through this horrific losing streak. And everybody, you know, morale was down, and everybody was mad, and everybody was upset. And so I remember our coaches set us down finally. And we had we had 3 games left in the year, and we had a week off, a bye week. And they set us down, and they talked to us about how unmotivated we were. They talked to us about how we would start a game good, and then something bad would happen. And then the minute something bad would happen, we begin to go, oh, no, here it comes. And sure enough, we were self-fulfilling a prophecy. And we'd start making mistakes, and we'd start having turnovers and fumbles and all that kind of stuff. We'd start dragging around. you know, because when you're losing, there's nothing energizing about that. And so we'd start dragging around, and we'd just get sloppier. We'd get more penalties, you know, after that, and things would just kind of compound themselves. We weren't finishing plays. We missed tackles. We missed blocks. We missed coverages. And so you know, it's just what happens when you get compressed and bent and stretched, when you've lost your resiliency and you don't know how to bounce back. And it just, everything you do just kind of makes it worse. When you're losing, you have a tendency to get away from the fundamentals of the game. And so our coaches said, we're going back to basics. They said, we're going to be doing a lot of work. We're not going to be doing as much scrimmaging. We're going to run through fundamentals. We're going to work on our technique. We're going to work on our form. We're going to work on our footwork. You know, we're going to work on playing through the whistle. We're going back to the basics of blocking and tackling, just like it was the first day of practice. We're just going to start over, and we're going to simplify the playbook. We're just going back to the basics, because it was the basics and the fundamentals, they said, that were going to get us through these difficult times. Why Paul is writing these things here is for the same reason that my coaches set us down. It's really important when you're under stress, when you're under duress, when times are hard, when they're uncertain and you don't know where things are going or what you're going to face, it's really important that you stick to the fundamentals. It's really important that you do the basic things. It's really important that because in those times when we get stretched, you know, in those times when we get challenged, we can get really sloppy with our Christianity. We can get really sloppy in our relationship with God. When things get down and they don't seem to be going our way, we can start dragging. We can be unmotivated. We can start making mistakes, and next thing you know, we start responding in ways that we might not normally respond. And we stop praying. We stop being joyful. We stop responding like Jesus. And sometimes we let our guard down and evil slips in there. We stop encouraging each other because, frankly, I need encouragement. I would encourage somebody if somebody would encourage me. We stop being patient. Sometimes we're not so kind. You know, we kind of run over the weak instead of helping the weak. We're not responsive to the Holy Spirit. We stop testing things and we believe anything. We don't even check out to see if it's right. There's more discord in our relationships. And we start to live with a sense of desperation, because the longer we go with uncertainty, the easier it is to begin to get away from the things that will keep us on course in the midst of it. It's easy to get away from the basics and help us continue to become like Jesus. The things, you know, we need the things that will make us resilient. So that's what Paul is saying here. That's why this passage is there to the Thessalonians. He's saying, look, these are important things to talk about. These are important things for you to know. He tells us to be resilient. He's telling us how to get back to the basics. Later on, he would write to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:14, you must remain faithful to the things you have been taught. And I know you're tired of persecution. I know you're in these uncertain days. We don't know when Christ is going to come back. But in the meantime, don't get sloppy. Don't get lackadaisical or haphazard or careless. Paul's already told us to be on guard and alert and clear-minded, but here he gets to the fundamentals that we need to practice. And so I want us to, this is very important that we talk about these today, because in these times that we're living in, it's real easy to let a bunch of stuff go. It's real easy to not be as intentional as we want to be. So what are the things that he says we need to do? The first thing that he said, the first couple of verses there, is we need to be a good follower. You ever watch the movie Hoosiers? I love that movie. Greatest basketball movie that I think has ever been made. And if you remember Gene Hackman's character, when he took over the team, he came in and all they did for practice was scrimmage. They just played the game. And he went in and he said, look, we're not even going to work with the basketball right now. We're going to work on fundamentals. We're going to work on your footwork. And so he said, we're not even going to shoot for a while. We're going to do basic drills first. And when we get good at that, maybe we can start shooting. And so that's what they did. They practiced the fundamentals, because he said that practicing the fundamentals would make them better at the game. He even had a rule in the game that they had to pass 5 times before they could shoot, because they were just used to running down there and just throwing the ball up. And he said, no, we got to have some discipline here. And the big part of the movie really is getting not only the players, but the community to buy into his leadership. And that's what Paul's saying here. Listen to your leaders, your spiritual coaches that God's given to you. Have respect for them, wholehearted love. Now, here's my problem this morning talking about this, is that anything that I say as your pastor would sound very self-serving. So let me tell you how I see what Paul wrote here, how it applies to my life. For instance, my spiritual leader, my pastor, is our district superintendent, Eddie Estep. And the thing, Eddie's only been here a couple of years, and he worshiped with us a year ago, Easter. And I appreciate his heart. I appreciate what I see of Jesus in his life. I appreciate his leadership, because as I watch him deal with things on the district and as I watch him lead, it teaches me a lot and it inspires me a lot. I love it when he shares God's word, you know, because I think Eddie's an excellent, he's an excellent preacher. Now, that doesn't mean, you know what, there are things Eddie and I don't agree on. This part of the tape we'll probably edit. But there are things that Eddie and I don't necessarily agree on. And there are some ways we've done some things that I'm not, you know, I would probably do them another way. But here's the thing. I just let that stuff slide off my back. Because I know that it's important for me to do my best to follow his coaching. I know it's important for me to honor the authority that God has given him over me. And that I need to listen to his spiritual guidance. I try to have great respect and wholehearted love because of his work. I try to live at peace with him. Matter of fact, I even try to live, other pastors can really annoy me terribly. And so just to make things easier on Eddie, I try to live at peace with the rest of them as well, even the numbnuts. And so, you know, and so I try to do that. Why? Because I want to support his leadership, because I feel like, first of all, that's what the Holy Spirit says for us to do. That, and, you know, I also understand that for me to be a good leader, I have to be a good follower first. And so I try to do. When times are uncertain and going wrong, sometimes when I think things ought to be different or I want things to be different, it's so easy for me to go my own way and do my own thing. And when things aren't going well, it's easy for me to get frustrated and take it out on my leader, my coach. It's so easy to start nitpicking and lashing out and blaming. Well, if I was a leader, I'd do this. Or if I was Eddie, I'd blah, blah, tell them that. Especially that numbnut over there, Pastor Numbnut. And so, but here's the thing. I know when I do that, that doesn't honor God. Doesn't help me. Doesn't help Eddie. Writer of Hebrews in Hebrews 13, 17 said this, obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. Their work is to watch over your souls, and they are accountable to God. Give them reason to do this with joy and not with sorrow. That would certainly not be for your benefit. And I really would like for Eddie to be able to say that it was a blessing, maybe even a joy, to lead Brian. I mean, I really would. And I know, I can be a pain. I know that. Thank you for not saying amen. You started to, though, didn't you, my wife? Anyway, but the thing is that I realize that it doesn't profit me. It doesn't benefit me. I need to support him and follow him behind him. I would really like for Eddie to say it was a joy to work with Brian. Lou and I were listening to Jim Cimbala the other day. Some of you may know him. He's the founding pastor of Brooklyn Tabernacle. You may be familiar with the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. And he was preaching the other day, and he shared a recent study that showed that 20% of pastors are planning on leaving the ministry after the COVID crisis is over. And he said something along this line. Do you think it's because they can't come up with any sermons or have anything to preach? No, it's because of all the fighting over things that don't matter in the kingdom, and they're tired of it, and they just can't do it anymore. It's easy to get the fundamentals wrong, isn't it, to let them slide? It's easy to start taking out our frustration on one another, making it hard on everybody. The basic truth, you know, these are basic truths, but it's amazing how these things can get lost in times of difficulty when we're losing rather than winning. And so we all need to be good followers. Be a good follower. Respond to coaching. Try to live at peace with those that are around you. Here's another thing he said. He said that we should care for others. This is a, we're going to read verse, let me read verses 14 and 15 to you again, but I want to read them this time out of the Passion Translation. Listen to these. We appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters, to instruct those who are not in their place of battle. Be skilled at gently encouraging those who feel themselves inadequate. Be faithful to stand your ground. Help the weak to stand again. Be quick to demonstrate patience with everyone. Resist revenge and make sure that no one pays back evil in place of evil. But always pursue doing what is beautiful to one another and to all the unbelievers. I love that. Pursue doing what is beautiful to one another and to all the unbelievers. I remember when we were in the middle of losing strength in ninth grade, we about tore each other apart. Because when you're losing, right, and you're trying to blame, I remember somebody drop a pass, and we go, well, we'd have won that game if, you know, if Jimmy hadn't dropped the pass, you know, or if Bobby hadn't missed that block, or if, you know, Sam hadn't made that tackle, you know, or if Carlos would have recovered that, covered that receiver right. We got to where we started blaming each other because we were quick to blame our losses on someone for all of those things. We became critical of one another because that's what happens when you feel like you're losing. We have no patience for one another. Our teamwork was literally breaking down. And that's so easy to do when life is weary and it seems like life's out of control and things are uncertain. And that's often when we find ourselves in difficult places, we tend to devour one another than help one another. And this is why you see so many people have meltdowns. Again, you know, I think it was the last sermon series I preached about, you know, Karens. And now Facebook won't, I get Karen videos all the time. And so I don't know if there's more Karenism out there or if it's just that I just can't, you can't hide from the internet. And so, but we see all this, right? I was in I had to go in Walmart the other day. I've been trying to get all my groceries online and not had to go in there the other day. And two things, I didn't tell Lou this. So when you wear your mask, you know, if you have glasses, everybody know how you still have a fog up, right? Oh yeah. Well, mine fogged up on my way to the restroom. I went in the wrong one. The other thing I saw I saw just somebody have a meltdown with one of the employees, and it was just, and I've seen these on video, but there's something else about being in the right there with it going on, like going, oh, man, ugh. This is where we start chewing on one another. I mean, lose patience, and we tend to step on those who seem inadequate rather than lift them up. We tend to prey on the we tend to fall prey to the petty concerns and the annoyances of our lives. You know, we just let it break down relationships. But Paul says here we've got to care for one another, help those who are not in their place of battle. I love that. You know what? When the line needs shoring up, or you know, people just seem to like, I can't do this anymore. We need to encourage people to continue to fight. Be skilled at encouraging those who feel be skilled at gently encouraging those who feel inadequate. How skilled are you at being gentle? I'm like a freaking bull in a china closet, and so I have to work at being gentle. I got to work on that skill of gently. Of being gentle with people. Help the weak to stand. Be quick. He says be quick, not to be angry, not to blame, but be quick to demonstrate patience. That's something you have to work on too. May we be quicker with our patience and slower with our temper. Always pursue what is beautiful to one another and all unbelievers. Now, for guys, I know this is hard because we don't look at one another and go, I'm going to be beautiful toward you. But reality, I love the metaphor, though, that there's so much ugly in the world today. And we need to bring beauty to it, he says. Are you pursuing doing beautiful things in the lives of others? Are you putting beautiful things on Facebook? are you speaking to one another, you know, in ways that are beautiful? It isn't enough to, listen, it's not enough to avoid trouble and just hope for the best. Every follower of Jesus has to be active. Every follower of Jesus, he says here, has to pursue what will be good for other Christians and indeed for everybody. It's easy to let the fundamentals slide. These are basic things, but it's amazing how these things can get overlooked when times get difficult. And then here's the last thing about being resilient. You have to practice the disciplines. These short little sentences, again, 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 22, I'm going to read them this time from the NIV. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ. Do not quench the spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all, hold on to what is good, and reject every kind of evil. And we know these things, right? We know we need to do these things. But you and I also know that when we are under duress, when we're under pressure in uncertain times, that some of these things are the first things to go. Like I never, in all these 32 now, almost 33 years of pastoring, no one's ever come up to me on Sunday and say, hey, pastor, I had a lousy week. Oh, this happened and that happened, but I am rejoicing. Nobody does that, you know? But he says we need to be joyful. Our minds need to grab, you know, we always, as humans, our minds always gravitate towards the negative. And he says, so when things are hard, you know, our joy can be one of the first things to go. So hang on to that. Be active in that. That's one of the things about meeting here. At least we get to sing some of these great songs like we sung today, because we need to be reminded that God is good. And we need to be reminded of all those things, that because sometimes we can get so full of the negative, we forget to rejoice. You know, there can be one bad thing in our life going on. One bad thing, two things, three things. And you know what we do? We tend to forget the 99 things that are going right. The 99 things that are good. The 99 things that we're blessed with. And so we got to be, in times like these, if you want to be resilient, you got to focus in on the things that are good. It's hard for us to test everything before we hit share on Facebook, because we're desperate to believe anything. But we need to be careful that we hold on to the good. You know, and it's hard, especially when times are bad. You got to hang on to the good. You got to latch on to them. And you got to let go of the things that are evil, the things that are wrong. Because the enemy does his best to take our minds into those dark, menacing, and negative places. He wants to fill our hearts and minds with evil, with wrong, and so what ends up with attitudes that are poor, not Christ-like. And so what happens is, if we're not careful, he'll slip into our thoughts, he'll slip into our hearts through our emotions and our relationships with others. I'm amazed how often when times are hard, how many of us forget to pray. If I had a quarter for every time somebody came to my office with a problem, and I said to them, and we talked about it, what was going on, and one of the first things, so if you come to my office and you have a problem, be ready for this question. Because one of the first things I'll say is, you know, well, tell me how your prayer life is. What's God saying to you? And if I had a quarter for every time somebody said, well, I kind of quit praying, I would be a rich man now and probably on TV somewhere. I don't know why that is, right? I know when it gets hard, it's just that prayer sort of slips our minds. Or right, we pray for so long about something and we don't see anything happening, we give up. I have to be honest with you. I did that with my brother. It had gone on for so long and I had grown weary. And when we grow weary, we tend to give up sometimes. And so it's so important to be on top of it and to pray, because praying will help make you resilient. Prayer will help you bounce back. Someone was telling me this week that they recently were sharing with my wife something that happened to them. And my wife just looked at them and said, well, did you pray about it? And the person said, you know, I realized that I hadn't done that yet. And then I also realized what you live with. And I'm going, yeah, yeah. And they said, but you know what? It was pretty good, because that hadn't been their first response. And they thought, you know, I need to, you know, that I need to pray about that. And my wife started telling them about some things that she's been through recently. Weren't huge, big things, but they were things that, you know, stuff that we've been going through, and how God had answered prayer. It's easy to forget that. It's easy to not stay diligent in it. It's so easy to get away from reading your Bible. So easy way to get away from time. So easy to quench the Holy Spirit. And here's the thing. I don't think most of us as followers of Jesus intentionally quench the Holy Spirit. But let me tell you something. When you let your life get so loud that you can't hear him, that's the same thing. When we let our life get so noisy that we can't hear the Spirit in our lives and we can't hear when he's talking to us. That word for quench means to extinguish, suppress, and stifle. And I tell you what, I find this all the time, and you know you do too, that we sometimes fear will just put a damper on the Spirit's voice, on the fire inside. Fear and doubt and worry can just weigh us down. That's why Jesus said, don't worry about today. Don't worry about what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat. Let me take care of you and all of that. We need to be remembered that we need to so fill ourselves with the Spirit that it pushes out the doubt, that it pushes out the fear. We need to focus in on him and say, God, I really need to hear from you. It's easy to let the fundamentals slip. They're just basic things, right? But it's so easy when times are difficult that these are the things that can keep us from being able to bounce back and endure to be resilient. Let me tell you about my ninth grade football team. So we went back to basics, and we had our first game in a week and a half after we had that meeting. And matter of fact, we not only beat that team, we went on a little winning streak to close the year out. And we beat two teams that were by far more talented than us. But they made a couple of mistakes in the game, and they may have been more talented than us, but they weren't as resilient as we were. Because we had gone back to the basics again. And we were a better team. We worked as a team. We were fundamentally sound. We tackled well. We blocked well because we worked on the fundamentals. Because when you're under stress, when you face uncertain times, we trusted our coaches, we helped each other, and we went back to the very basics. That's what we need to do in these days as a church. And I know we're all spread out, and I know a lot of us aren't here, and a lot of people are watching online and those kinds of things, but that doesn't mean that we can't work together. What kind of a follower are you right now? Are you trusting those that God has put in your life to coach you? Do you trust God? Are you blaming or are you blessing? How supportive of you are your teammates, of others? Are you gently encouraging those who feel inadequate? Are you helping the weak to stand? Are you demonstrating patience? Are you pursuing what's good for other Christians and for everyone? Are you doing the small but really important things that grow you and mature you? Are you doing the things, I think it's in the book of Revelation, where the church at Laodicea, and God tells them, and he get back to the things that they first did. And maybe for some of us, that's what we got to go back to. We got to go back and read the word with that same hunger, and we got to pray with that same vibrancy. In these days, we cannot just endure, but we can be resilient. We can bounce back. We, in these days as a church, God wants us to know, and he wants us to remember that until Jesus comes, we've got to continue to do the fundamental things, the things that got us to where we are now in our relationship with Christ, and to not grow weary in all of what's going on around us, but know that he's got us. Will you bow your heads and pray with me this morning? Heavenly Father, right now we just open ourselves to you this morning. And we ask you to examine us. Like David, we ask you to look inside of us and not only see if there be any wicked way inside of us, but God, is there somewhere that we've kind of let things slide? Are there some places where we've kind of let down because we're weary and we're tired? It's just human of us, Father. And today, Lord, you don't speak to us in any kind of angry way. You just have spoken to us with a gentle reminder this morning to get back to the basics. Make sure we're doing the things, the taking care of the fundamentals of following you. God, I pray that you would look into our hearts. Is there somewhere, Lord, that we have strayed? Is there some place that we've let down? You've put coaches in our life, God. Are we following? Are we listening to those who speak into our lives? Not just pastors, but friends and others here in the church that we respect and admire, others who may be somewhere else who have discipled us. Are we listening and responding? God, we pray that you would look inside us, Father, and look and see, are we doing the things taking care of the team? Are we good teammates to one another? God, are we making sure that people are taken care of? Are we reaching out to one another? Are we helping those who have stumbled to stand up again? Are we helping those who feel weak to be strong again? God, help me. Put people on my heart and mind, on my team, my teammates that I can encourage and uplift this week. And God, would you help me, Lord? I pray, God, is there anywhere that I've let you down in things like praying and reading your word? And I know, you know I'm tired, and you know sometimes, Father, the grind is long. But God, would you renew my desire for your word? Renew my desire for your spirit in my life. Father, if there's anything that, if I have overloaded my life and I have shut out the voice of your spirit, God, I pray, Lord, to help me clear away so that I can hear, so that I can feel the power of your presence. I don't want to quench the spirit in my life. I want to invite the spirit into my life even more so that the flame of the spirit won't be quenched inside of me or suppressed, but God, it will only grow in these days because these are the days that I need you most. These are the days the light needs to shine in the darkness the most. God, will you help us? God, will you help me? Help me, Lord, to follow you and to grow during this time. To be resilient. May your church be resilient in these days so that, God, not only will we endure through this and make it on the other side, but we will make it on the other side victorious. We will make it on the other side stronger. We will make it on the other side knowing that he who is with us is greater than the one who's in the world, that the one who stands beside us is able to meet every challenge in our lives, that, God, you are above it all today, like we sang, and that today you've got me in the center of your hands, and we're going to make it victorious because of you. God, will you work and move in our lives this week so that we might be a light in a dark world? For we ask and pray these things in your name. Amen. Amen. Hey, I want to just remind you of a couple of things this morning. The offering plates, you saw those on the way in. So if you have anything left in your pocket, you want to empty it. We don't have a credit card machine, but if you leave us your credit card, we'll take care of it. Anyway, no, you've been great to support the church in these days, and we're appreciative of it. But you can give in the offering plate today. You can do it online. You can also do it with a text on your phone. You see the number that's up there. You can do that. I also want to remind you that we're helping the school across the street, Landon. They're trying to provide masks for all the kids. And so I don't think they're halfway to their goal yet. And so anything you could do along that line would be great. You can go to our website and find out about that. And then in 2 weeks from today, on the 30th, we're going to have Back to School Sunday. And so we want to honor our teachers. We want to pray over them, our school employees, and also over our college students, and also over our students that are back in our elementary and high schools and junior middle schools. And so I hope you'll be here for that if you can. And we just need to pray. Boy, if there's any time we need to pray for our school system, it's right now, isn't it? Because these are days where they're trying to muddle through and figure out what's best. And so we want to pray for all of them. Well, if you will, this morning, I want to ask you to stand. I'll just tell you, I want to give you a blessing, a benediction that's actually from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And if some way God's spoken to you this morning or you need anything, holler at us at the office this week. Let me know, and we'll be praying for you. Now, may the God of peace and harmony set you apart, making you completely holy. And may your entire being, spirit, soul, and body, be kept completely flawless in the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Anointed One. The one who calls you by his name is trustworthy and will thoroughly complete his work in you. Grace from our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Have a great week. Say hi to somebody. No handshaking or hugging on your way out this morning. Have a great week.